He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, December 26th, the day after Christmas edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I hope everyone out there got what was on their list. Looks like the market's going to finish up this year with everything that it kind of wanted on its list, and we'll kind of get into some of that here later on today. But I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today. And from a market standpoint, it should be certainly a light day, a light week, you would imagine, here for the last trading week of 2023. The Dow is up 0.17%, up 63 points. We've got the S&P 500 up 0.26%. NASDAQ also up 0.36%. We've got a lot of green across the board here today. Crude oil continues to kind of bounce back with some of the supply chain issues, particularly in the Suez. Crude oil is up 2.78% today, and that's over $75, at $75.60. Of course, we were in the 60s for a good bit there just a couple weeks ago, I believe. And of course, gold coming through at almost $2,060 an ounce, up 0.31%. And Bitcoin having a kind of giving a few of those gains back that they've had a good run there, but up or down 2.45%. But again, good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, December 26th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I'm your host, Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today while he's getting some well-deserved time with the grandkids this morning as we wind down 2023 with the last week of trading for the year. And of course, the streak continues for last week here. We had, I guess, the markets finished on an eight straight weeks of positive green move in the markets. It's been pretty remarkable since where we kind of where we sat the last week, or kind of that last week of October. And if you look at the chart, it's as Bill kind of highlighted in the newsletter this week, you've had a pretty remarkable run in terms of the market. We've hit a couple of all-time highs, I believe, in regards to the Dow as well as the NASDAQ during that span. And at one point, I believe the S&P was about 60 points from its all-time high. So certainly getting a bit of a gift at the end of the year this year. Of course, we're a little wary of how long that's going to continue, as Bill highlighted in the newsletter this past weekend. Of course, that's mainly from a technical standpoint. Markets looking to be a bit overdone at the moment, but we'll take it as, like we said, we've got nothing but green in terms of the equity markets on here today. Folks were a little bit distracted probably last week in terms of what was going on in the world and the economic backdrop, but for good reason. We were all out there probably getting our last-minute Christmas shopping in. But we had, we've had some good economic data last week, some Goldilocks reports last week, and we'll actually dive back into those just to kind of recap what may have been missed a little bit last week. But from an economic data, things came in very favorable, just in terms of not too hot and not too cold. The market is really pricing in some rate cuts, as soon as March of 2024. Of course, that's on the back of Chairman Powell's, the Fed pivot from the meeting. I guess it's going to be 2 weeks. I guess the announcement was 2 weeks ago to yesterday or tomorrow. So right now, markets are kind of pricing in an 87% chance of a rate cut in March, a 99.9% chance in the May 1st meeting, and a 99.9% chance in June of 2024. So, of course, it looks the market's at least pricing in one, and we'll kind of dive into how many are actually from a percentage standpoint. The market's pricing in close to three cuts, potentially by the mid-year in 2024. I don't think we're quite that optimistic in our forecast, but. Of course, you can't fight the tape sometimes, and that's what folks are predicting. So we'll see how that comes. Of course, like I said, last week we had, markets were on a continued eight week win streak. I think that's the biggest win streak since, I want to say November of maybe 2017. And we had a couple of, couple of big names, of course, on the Dow side. That reported not so great figures, and of course the Dow was kind of the laggard last week in terms of the rest of the markets. And we had a Nike, of course, reported they had some warned on some sales growth. You had FedEx came in with a report that the market really didn't like. They were down at least at one point during that day on double digits. Really highlighting kind of some of the market share that's really probably been taken from them via Amazon. So, Magnificent Seven continues, or seven or ten, whichever your number, kind of continues to lead the way. But you're starting to see some breath, particularly in these last 8 weeks, where other names are beginning to come alive, as Bill's been highlighting. Kind of a little bit of a move from growth to devalue, or at least the thought of a move or rotation from growth to value. And we've seen that particularly in the small cap value names, which, Bill has certainly sent out a handful of charts detailing those moves. And, the 10-year continues to, 10-year U.S. Treasury continues to be accommodative in terms of where we were. It wasn't long ago we were above 5% there, and we currently sit at 3.89%. So, we're still under 4. We started the year around that range. So it's been a pretty volatile year for the 10-year. Certainly in the last as this equity market has ramped up in the last 8 weeks. Of course, the 10-year treasury has gone in the yield has gone in the other direction, which has been beneficial for the markets, and actually part of our worry in terms of the market getting a bit ahead of itself is really that interest rate has really pushed up price to earnings ratios, particularly the forward PE now being above 20. Which historically is is a pretty high figure for valuation. So that's one of the biggest near term worry that we see, going into 2024 is just, are we going to get some potential selling in early January as folks maybe go ahead and realize some gains? We're also going to get pretty close, the next say 3 months or so. We're going to start getting into some long-term capital gain situation for names like NVIDIA, Microsoft, right, who kind of initially led that real AI tailwind for the market. And as we kind of keep moving towards, particularly towards the mid-year at the end of June, a lot of these names are certainly going to become be in long-term capital gains territory, which from a tax perspective, will make it doesn't mean that folks will certainly have to sell those, but it certainly makes it more palatable for those owning those shares in taxable accounts. So that's really where we are from a market perspective. Certainly, looking back last week, you know, the economic calendar. We got the Fed's preferred reading for inflation with the PCE index. We got that on Friday. We also had the standard weekly jobless claims that came in on Thursday, as well as another kind of data dump at the end of the year in terms of the calendar this week. We don't see any Fed speakers on the docket, so they must be taking the end of the year off, I would imagine. So seems it's about that time of the year, but we're of course just getting started here on the Best Stocks Now show, and we'll dive into some of those economic numbers from last week when we come back. Welcome back here to the Tuesday, the Boxing Day edition of the Best Stocks Now show. And I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, taking the wheel for Bill today, playing a bit of relief captain. But, of course, it looks like the market continues to be in the green. We would imagine that you're going to get some low volume here. In terms of the market today, but we've got just a recap of the equity markets. We've got the Nasdaq up 0.43%, making its way over 15,000 a day at 15,056. We've got the S&P 500 approaching that 4,800 number, up 14 points a day, 0.3%, as well as the Dow. Back, I guess, below that 38,000 number, but we're sitting at 37,484, up a little over a quarter point today. I think you know, one of the main pieces is, of course, crude oil. Kind of continues its slog higher, up to $75.52. That's another 2.5% gain there. So. Energy names were one of the better sectors, I think second leading sector last week, and looks like that, at least from the price of oil, that's looking to continue. But yeah, I think if you missed it last week, you may have been certainly plenty of things to keep us distracted for good reason last week, but the biggest story really was, you know, has to be the continued kind of bedtime story themed of the U.S. economy. It's really that, Goldilocks kind of reports remain on top last week. I believe it's worth kind of looking at again, certainly as it likely went under the radar. But as everyone, as we look at kind of what we got last week, I mean, we had certainly the highlight being that the Fed's favorite inflation gauge in November, the PCE index actually rose 3.2% year over year in November. That's the core PCE, of course, which strips out food and energy. Came in less than expected, so it came in at 3.2 year over year. It was expected to be 3.4. And actually, the revised version for October actually fell another tenth of a point to 3.4 from the original 3.5 reading. So, from an inflation standpoint, continues to I think of the campfire that's kind of slowly going out. It seems that's where we are here, of course. At any point in time, some wind could come by and kind of kick that up again. But for now, it looks like the Fed seems pretty happy with the fact that the inflation seems to be stamped out, at least for the moment. One kind of interesting point was we've been talking about, okay, well, We may have consumer slowdown, right? Of course, as the U.S. consumer goes, really the rest of the world's economy tends to go. But personal income actually increased faster than their spending last week, and at a better rate of inflation compared to cost there. Of course, what does that do? Well, that's going to put more disposable income in shoppers' pockets. So we'll see how the holiday season shopping made out here when we get some of those retail reports here in early January. I think it's important to note that the month-over-month core PCE rose just 0.1% versus an expected 0.4%. So that's a pretty drastic move from what was expected. Like I said, one of the more interesting kind of stats when you break down these inflation numbers is that, you know, over the last 6 months, the annualized rate of core PCE inflation is only up 1.87%, which is of course below that 2% Fed target that they tend to shoot for. So all that kind of plays into those percent chances of that I've mentioned before, in terms of, you know, basically a 100% chance of some type of Fed cut between now and the June meeting. So we'll continue to see how that plays out. Of course, that the data seems to be doing so. I think like I said, no matter what. Which way you slice it, really? I mean, there's been visual progress on the inflation front, which of course gives the Fed more conviction in their most recent pivot. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. Like I said, not far from that Fed target of 2%, it's pretty encouraging, at least from that point of view. Durable. So in terms of, so we've got, kind of two sides of the equation here, right? What's too hot for the economy? And then, of course, what's too restrictive, or what's warning signs for the economy? And it's really kind of been a mixed bag. I mean, you had, durable goods orders rose more than expected last month. It actually rose pretty significantly, rose 5.4% in November. That's compared to an increase of only 1.7% in October. So we've really had these kind of almost rolling recessions across various sectors of the economy, and really dating back to 2022. In parts of 2023, and a lot of these particular slowdowns have really kind of, you've seen mixed data where they've kind of picked back up or haven't been weak for very long. Consumer confidence rose in December as well, and then of course we got the final estimate of the U.S. GDP growth last week, and it was up 4.9% for the third quarter. So these estimates, at least from a market standpoint, we were really kind of in that whether you want to call it the soft landing or just kind of in the, like I said, in the Goldilocks, not just right kind of range here, because on the other side you've got leading economic indicators kind of edged down, which in that term, it also means that the economy is not, it's the future of the economy is not, going to be too hot going forward. Of course, the leading economic indicators, basically contracted a bit. I think it was about a half a point last week, compared with a 0.8 increase in October. So that kind of gives you that. Kind of what we're trying to illustrate there with a, 1 month not so great, next month, coming in better than expected. So that, that little mix of, for the economy is bodes well for stocks and bodes well for earnings as well. So, but we're finished, already blazed through the first half of the Best Stocks Now show. We'll cover some individual names and some other items for this week when we come back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of the Tuesday, December 26th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I'm a planner and analyst here, Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, taking the wheel for Bill today, serving as relief captain on the day after Christmas here. I hope everyone had a great Christmas and holiday season, and certainly looking forward to see what 2024 brings after what should finish up as a fantastic 2023 for the markets and hopefully for your portfolios out there. We're still remaining green. Now we've got green across the board still, in terms of the equity markets, today, which is likely going to be a pretty, you would expect to be a pretty light, volume day in terms of the market. But, of course, you know, looking ahead this week, we've got a, should be pretty quiet. We've got a minimal amount of economic data coming out. Highlight of the week is really just going to be the weekly jobless claim figures, which, of course, per the usual, will be released on Thursday. Of course, the markets will be closed on January 1st, New Year's Day on next Monday. And, you know, I kind of noted earlier, I don't see any scheduled Fed speakers, this week. My guess is they feel like their job is done for the year and they'll be resting up, for 2024. Probably not too many conferences for them to speak at, this time of year. So, I think one of the interesting points, at least from not much earnings, kind of in the earnings doldrums at the moment, but, we did get the interesting report from Nike and FedEx last week. I think the biggest highlight in terms of positive report was from Micron, but those are really the three primary names last week that were reporting from an earnings perspective. And of course, the competition really is kind of heating up around those couple of bellwether names. And we touched on it a bit last week, but both Nike and FedEx really got scolded last week from a price standpoint with disappointing earnings reports and guidance. We've kind of spoke about the challenges, of course, Amazon delivery has posed for FedEx and UPS. It seems, you know, kind of those two historically largest players in the shipping game. Really have kind of their go forward market share kind of capped by Amazon's success, and of course them now, I think it was, I don't know, it was about a month or so ago, I think announced as kind of the quote unquote leading shipper in the U.S. I think that's in terms of volume of packages, but Nike's also finding themselves as kind of the as the hunted. They've been on top of the top of the shoe standings for particularly in the sporting arena for years and years and years. It's hard to remember them, not being, of course, if you ask my three boys, who Converse was or any of the other names from pre-Nike days, you wouldn't have much of an answer. It'd be pretty much anything Michael Jordan or forward. But Bill, and of course, a name we own, Deckers, Bill's been highlighting the fact that, whether it's, the Hoka shoe or On Cloud, you know, kind of cutting into some of that market share, you know, slowly but surely with Nike. Of course, like I said, one of the name we own here at the firm at Gunderson Capital is Deckers Outdoor Corporation. Symbol on that's DECK. They're the maker of the Hoka brand, and of course you've got exact name is On Holding AG, symbol is ONON. They're the maker of the On Cloud shoe, and really in that running space, they've really been taking market share from both of those. They've actually had, you know, this year basically their topped earning revenue. They've topped revenue estimates with every earnings report this year. ONON and Decker. So they've, you know, really outperformed Nike. Nike kind of, in their earnings report really pointed to, you know, kind of some more cautious, consumer behavior as well as, specifically some slump in China, as well as some supply chain disruptions. I feel like that, supply chain story has been one that kind of Nike throws out there almost at every earnings call, but, you know, it's evident that, you know, those are issues, but it's also evident that these other two companies have really been providing a stiff competition, right, in terms of taking some market share for them. Actually, in their Nike, in their report, were mentioning the fact that they're planning to accelerate some product innovation, which, you know, particularly in the running category, which in my estimation, in our estimation, you know, is a direct direct answer to the Hoka and On Cloud brands, kind of taking in, you know, some of that business, particularly in the running space. So it'll be interesting to see how kind of that battle continues to play out through 2024. And you've got you kind of had some, you know, some of that go through, kind of flow through to particularly Foot Locker, who was the hardest hit, on Friday, coming off of the Nike news, simply because, you know, they, Nike merchandise, I believe, is 65% or more of Foot Locker's, you know, entire purchases or revenue stream in 2022. So it makes up a huge part of Foot Locker. So that's when you start seeing some of these ancillary effects to, what other companies are going to be affected by, you know, one particular announcement. So they went down in sympathy at the end of last week. But just, wanted to highlight kind of, just how competition and how disruption and things change, in the market, even with your stalwart brands. In last week, FedEx and Nike being both of the, you know, kind of being examples of that. And so when we, you know, this is the time of the year, of course, Bill's been highlighting some, as different companies' outlook are just, you know, not necessarily folks we necessarily agree with, but we always want to, you know, look at other folks' outlook and see what's going on in the world. And of course, got us to think, you know, maybe thinking about, you know, some of the specific risks, right, that are facing the markets in 2024. Of course, you know, really at the top of the list, certainly, whether it's just from news flow or whether from finance news or everyday, you know, world news. And of course, geopolitical risks. You've got, of course, the Ukraine and Russian conflict and war continuing to go. I've got, obviously, Israel and Hamas and any particular possible spillover to, you know, some of Iran's proxies there. I saw it this morning or early this morning where, U.S. actually struck some places, in Iraq. I think there were some offshoot Hezbollah militants there that released a drone attack that hurt, injured three service U.S. service members. So that was kind of a retaliatory strike there. I saw where Israel killed a kind of high-ranking Iranian general in the northern border, northern part of of Israel, or actually into Syria. And so, you know, those are certainly things that are on the list, in terms of worry for 2024, and the spillover in terms of, how that's affecting, the Suez Canal at the moment. I'll kind of get into some of those numbers, but, you know, interestingly enough, you see these, reports with that backdrop, and you've got, of course, Raytheon. I saw where they've got new $155 million, U.S. Navy contract. Lockheed Martin, recently, I think it was on Friday, was awarded $141 million Navy contract. So, defense spending, could be a big piece, in 2024. The spillover in the Red Sea, I mean, that is a potential, that issue, particularly if it's something that extends for a while, right, is going to potentially lead to inflation or longer term inflation or hiccups here in the U.S. So we'll keep an eye on that, those things in 2024. But we'll get back cranking through the show this morning, and we'll be back with the Best Stocks Now show for the fourth and final quarter of today's show. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the fourth and final quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill on this Tuesday, the day after Christmas, Boxing Day edition of the Best Stocks Now show. And of course, if you'd like, we're talking about a couple of risks here that Bill highlighted in the newsletter this week. If you want to certainly get a copy of what our thoughts are and Bill's thoughts are for 2024, please go to GundersonCapital.com. You can sign up for two free weeks of the newsletter there, and get some ideas in terms of what we're thinking, and also certainly if you want to give us a call and have us take a look at what's going on in your world, you can always reach us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST at Gunderson Capital Management, and Edie will be happy to get you on our calendars here. Though, market's still trucking along, basically still in the green. Not much movement since we've looked at it and highlighted it this morning. We'll say, one of the names that has Bill mentioned, that he's got a bruise on the back of his leg from kicking himself for not getting this into Intel this year. Of course, we've had a lot of successes in the chip names. Intel is not one that we own and owned, but I was just looking at Intel in terms of they're up almost 3% today, a member of the Dow. For the year up, over 91% at the moment. So just, nice bounce back year for Intel. Can't complain there. We've got even though we don't own them, we've got, certainly got to give them, their due. And they just, recently came out with, news today. I think, stock's up on this news here that, they're going to be, building a new chip facility, or expanding a new chip facility. $25 billion chip facility in Israel. They're getting a $3.2 billion grant from the country, and just kind of continued. We've seen it a lot in this space. Continued kind of branching out of the chip infrastructure and foundry infrastructure in terms of building chips. Part of that comes along the lines of one of our, as we mentioned, one of the big risks that we're looking or keeping an eye on in 2024, certainly geopolitical risks. And as we all know, the Chinese and Taiwan situation, likely to blow up at some point, right? Unfortunately, no one knows when that will occur, but certainly across that chip industry has been expanding into other places there for that specific reason. I think, you know, looking at just some of, you know, a couple of the larger issues that we're looking at in 2024, and Bill highlighted, you know, the market's valuation issues currently, with the forward PE ratio of the market being over 20%, I think around 20, over 20, right at around 20.3, if I'm not mistaken. But the, so a big risk here, right, is the Fed, the timing of, you know, said Fed rate cut, right? And so, like I said, it's where I kind of pay attention to these futures markets where, as I said, 87% chance of a cut in March. And, you know, where we're at now is that, you know, they give a range now. I like to just use the lower number, but four out of five, a range, Fed funds range of 5.25 to 5.5. There's an 87% chance of a cut by March. 76% of those, 76% think, move from, you know, basically to five, you know, essentially that lower number being five. So a quarter point, decrease in March. Of course, the other 11% think we're going to have a half point decrease in that rate by March. And as you get through the, you know, May and June, just surprising numbers here. Like I said, basically a 99.9% chance that the Fed funds rate will be lower in May than it is right now. Same thing for in June than it is in right now. 75% chance that the rate will be at 4.75, that lower tier, which means a half point cut from where we're at by that May meeting. And then 11% think we'll have a 0.75 cut. So that'd be essentially three-quarter point cuts by the May meeting. And you look all the way out to June, you've got 70% of folks think that the Fed funds rate will be 0.75 lower than where we're at. So three-quarter point cuts by June. And then 15% folks think we're going to be a full percentage point lower than we're at right now. So, certainly we kind of think, you know, that's pretty optimistic in terms of, you know, Fed funds rate. Those things don't come to fruition, or if they get pushed off, right, then of course the multiple, right, that means, you know, likely we're even more extended, right, on the multiple at the moment. So, like I said, Bill highlighted that in the newsletter this weekend, particularly from a technical analysis standpoint. So certainly think that's worth looking at there. And, you know, also we can get an idea of what's in store, on a go forward basis for 2024. But that's a huge piece. The other one that Bill's really mentioned, of course, is the Chinese economy. It continues to kind of, certainly continues to be, has not bounced back from COVID and, as we expected and as other economies, you know, did. And they continue to, you know, the other issue is they continue to kind of penalize or regulate, overly regulate their strongest industries. I mean, you've got, you know, just last week with, Chinese regulators were floating, some new rules to curb, you know, gaming, in the country, you know, not just, recent regulations really focused around, kids. This one actually focuses around adults. I mean, the idea is to reduce the amount of revenue, that those companies generate, which is, you know, that's one of the reasons why it's tough to invest in China, because they can pull the rug out from under you at any point in time. Their three largest gaming companies, Tencent, NetEase, and Bilibili, they lost $80 billion last week. So it just gives you an idea of, you know, regulation, things that can move markets in a very quick period. But we're going to work out the rest of this week and get you geared up for 2024, but certainly appreciate you sticking with us today, and hope you have a great rest of the day. And this is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll talk with you tomorrow. Bye now.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.